Tom Mulcair is brought to you by Guaranteed Industries. Don't wait for the summer heat. Call Guaranteed Industries for the best Lennox air conditioning system out there. 514-342-3400. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Andrew.
So forever, the Legault government has said they're saying there's no such thing as systemic racism in this province.
Of course, not everywhere else, but Quebec, not in Quebec.
So, exactly. So when these academic researchers came up with some training that acknowledged the existence of systemic racism, somebody allegedly in the government said, "No, you can't do that. Not going to do it," and they canceled the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it looks like a pretty well documented, allegedly. Thomas Gerbet, who is the journalist at Radio-Can who put this together, has sources. It's quite clear that the government intervened heavy-handedly to stop this anti-racism program from going forward because they dared to suggest that, lo and behold, systemic racism also exists in the province of Quebec, despite what the government is saying. So this has always been, for Legault, a rhetorical trick, and he takes it personally. He says, they're saying that Quebecers are systematically racist, confusing and conflating the words systemic, meaning the system generates a racist result, and systematic, meaning it happens all the time and everybody does it. Two very different things. The other sidebar here that I've taken note of, you know, for having spent many years in universities, is the Legault government, when it's fighting wokeism, is prompt to say, well, we're here to defend academic freedom. People should be allowed to say whatever they want. Well, that's interesting because these are academics. These are people from l'Université du Québec à Montréal, from Sherbrooke University, putting these programs together. It's well done. Everybody had anything to do with it, and parts of it you can see online. It's really well done. But they dared conclude that sometimes it will produce in the system a discriminatory, indeed racist result. The best way that I've ever found to explain it, and I do a lot of French media, and this is a guaranteed food fight every time this subject comes up, I say, look, don't take my opinion for it. The Quebec Human Rights Commission has published statistics showing that visible and other minorities in Quebec have about one half the representation in the Quebec civil service that they have in society. That means that the system is skewing the result. There is systemic discrimination. No, that doesn't exist in Quebec. There's no systemic discrimination. There's no systemic racism in Quebec. It doesn't exist here. It exists everywhere else, but not here. So it's a bit of a dialogue of the deaf. It goes around and around. But this morning's paper, I think, is going to wake a lot of people up. Andrew, the request to do this research came after the death of Joyce Echiquan. So everybody was feeling, you know, very, very bad, the horrible way that she died under a flurry of insults, and she was able to get it online and people understood what she had gone through. But now this is all recent that the government pulled the plug on this thing. So they started handing it back and forth. They said, well, no, it's not Legault's office, it's Christian Dubé's office. So they do have more than clear indication that it was the health ministry and higher-ups in the health ministry who pulled the plug on this thing. They're now pleading that they were just asking, and I'm doing air quotes here, legitimate questions. We had legitimate concerns about this, and we killed the project. So this is something that's going to drag on, and it's going to come back, and it's going to be in the news, and it's going to be across Canada, which will allow Legault again to say, they're attacking us. They're saying that we're all racist. And that's the line that Legault uses to get out of these tight squeezes. But this is really shameful behavior by the Quebec government.
Quebec Superior Court has ruled that the province owes former Premier Jean Charest $385,000 because of UPAC divulged leaked a lot of his personal information to the media.
Yes. So this is a very large settlement. $350,000 of it is to punish the Quebec government for having done that. $35,000 of it was for his damages, but 10 times that, you know, to smack the government on the hand and say, you can't do this. And so UPAC and every other police force in the province is going to learn that the courts take a pretty dim view of you selectively leaking information, especially private personal information, you know, everything about, you know, including the guy's passport, for example. So I don't know if it's going to go to appeal, but I have scratched my head when I saw that, you know, Charest was doing this, taking this thing to court. I thought it was a bit of a gamble that he was taking, but boy, it's a gamble that his numbers came in. And what he's going to do with that money. You know, I think that sometimes people who are on the receiving end of this, who have been in public life, sometimes say, well, I'm going to turn a bunch of this over to a good cause or something like that. But Charest was trying to prove a point that he, you know, and some of the coverage of this was really rough. I mean, you know, the coverage of the leaks and hurt him a lot. And that's what the judge is looking at here. So the judge's name is Gregory Moore and came down with a very tough decision against UPAC, which, by the way, is under new management, it must be pointed out. And none of this stuff has happened since that new management came in now a few years ago.
Is Jean Charest's son going to go into politics?
My sense is yes. I mean, I was listening to him on that great Montreal radio station, CJAD 800, yesterday, and I think that he's the type of guy who's very, very interested in that public life. He's studied philosophy at the University of Montreal at the graduate level. So, yeah, I think that he's absolutely, he's got lots of friends who are in his age group, and believe me, that's an age group that is sorely underrepresented in the Liberal Party in particular. And so, you know, seeing somebody like that who's got a good ear for both communities, you know, speaks unaccented, flawless English, in addition to, of course, his first language, which is French, I think he'd bring a lot to the game. He's a very interesting young guy.
Yeah, what's his first name?
Antoine.
I heard him yesterday, and you're right, his English is absolutely perfect. In fact, he sounds like he could have grown up on the West Island. He's like... is that going to hurt him among Francophone voters? The fact that he speaks English so well, they're going to say he's English?
Well, it is a tricky thing when you're that bilingual, because sometimes you're asked to basically identify. I remember when I ran for the first time in 94, there was a question of whether or not I would run in the West Island, and you know, there were other people who were interested in that seat. And I'd grown up in Chomedey in Laval, and that was open. And I said, I'll run in Laval. And it was always a titch of an advantage, in my view, to have run in Laval and not to have been seen as a strictly Montreal, West Island Anglo, even though I was living in Beaconsfield the whole time, mm-hmm. that I represented Chomedey. So it is a tricky thing here in Quebec. I remember Jean Charest, you know, getting really upset because there was a rather tough-minded commentator. She had written a piece in La Presse newspaper saying that Michelle Diane Charest, so Jean Charest's wife, had an English accent. And Charest, like, you know, just with us, you know, in a room, just said, how could she even write that? My wife is a 100% pure Quebec Francophone. But she was talking to her in Ottawa and decided that, you know, there were too many English words peppered into the discussion and that sort of thing. So, yes, identity politics plays in on the linguistic level in Quebec, always will.
Tom, thank you. Appreciate your perspective.
Great to talk to you.